Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. Praise to you. You also may be seated. Glory to God. All right. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. And his mercy does what? Say it again. I like the sound of that. His mercy does what? Glory to God. All right. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service again this morning. How's everyone doing? I'm glad that you are here. I believe God's going to bless your heart. Amen. You believe that? You can say amen. I like it when the service is a little more interactive. I don't know. I don't want to make sure people are not going to sleep on it. You know, if you believe the Lord's going to bless you, say amen. Amen. All right. Well, glory to God. Father, we thank you. We love you this morning. We give you the praise and the glory because all things that are in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord. And we heard some testimonies today. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, and in thy hand is might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Hallelujah. And remember, folks, by strength shall no man prevail. No one will prevail by their own strength, but it is in God's hand to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, O Lord, we thank you, and we praise your glorious name. Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the service this morning. Thank you for being here with us. And those who are watching online, thank you for watching. You are here with us in, I love to say this, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. It's really, it's really beautiful. Praise the Lord. Yeah. There's places right now where it's so cold, it's snowy and everything. But just look at us here. You know, we're just enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Amen. All right. So welcome to the service again this morning. This is GMI Church live on YouTube. We're live also on Facebook, you know, and we are here this morning. Glory to God. All right, my name is Pastor Yato, and I'm going to get right to this. You can take the sound down just a little bit. I'm going to get right to this. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. You know, as always, the entrance of your word brings light and giveth understanding to the simple. So let it be this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first I want to start here. Today I am going to, my message is titled, The God of the 11th Hour. Amen. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. But before I do, let me start at John chapter 6 and verse 63. I want to just bring out a concept. Are they okay? All right. I want to just bring out a concept that the Lord introduced here. And the way I say it is this. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, the way I like to interpret this verse is as follows. You cannot engage God in the flesh. Some of you have heard me say that. If you engage him in the flesh, it profits nothing. In fact, you won't get anything out of any of the ministration. But if you engage him in the spirit, now what does that mean? Let me explain it to you what that means. What that means is this. You know, even though I'm standing here speaking to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, henceforth know we no man anymore after the flesh. Yea, even though we've known Christ after the flesh, we don't know him after the flesh anymore. So it's not about the flesh. Now, if you engage God in the flesh, you won't understand anything. Or you may, and you say, oh, wonderful message, and that's it. It won't have real impact. But if you engage God in the spirit, you have a testimony. Amen. And I believe you will have a testimony. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, last time we were here, and we already heard some testimonies that people gave. You know, that day I was going to preach something else. Lord said, no, today you're not preaching, you're prophesying. And I came out here, prophesied to some, upon some dry bones, prophesied to some wind and things like that, prayed over the hands of the people and all that. And we're just hearing testimonies all over the place. Amen. Now, today, you say, well, you know, God gave them testimony. You know, what about my own? Well, I want to tell you that also, something, God started to do something remarkable in my own personal life. Beginning October 1st, I went on Clubhouse and I declared it. You know, some people were here, were there from this church. And a sister even stood up here and talked about it. And I said, the Lord said in Genesis 8 and 5, he said, look, the waters were already receding. But he said that, you know, as they approached the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the top of the mountains became visible. And I said, wow, you know, and the Lord gave me that. And I also came here and declared it. You know, and the Lord has been blessed. Anybody that caught on to that, they've been blessed. Amen. Because the things that seemed hitherto unreachable, God said, as he peeled the veil back that month, he said, the mountains, the top of the mountains are now visible. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we want to build on that today. Amen. Praise God. You know, so that was what God gave for October. He also gave me a word for November. And because we didn't have service here on November 1st, I went to Clubhouse and I declared it there. Praise God. You know, and I'm praying. I said, Lord, you know, I know you want the people of this church to be blessed with this word also. So I will bring some part of it today as well. You know, but, I'm also going to put in some other revelation. Amen. So the God of the 11th hour. That's what we're talking about today. But before I get to the main story that I will use today, let me read to you first. Here's what God gave me on November 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now listen to this. Don't engage this in the flesh. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verses 3 to 5. I have prayed about this for everyone that is, you know, the Lord said, Paul writing to the Corinthians, say, inasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, you must seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. So when we stand here to preach, that's what it's all about. Amen. That you may be edified. And I have prayed that everybody, anybody, you know, and I had some people in mind too as I was praying. God was bringing things into my mind. I was praying. But, you know, look, here's what the Lord said. It came to pass, forget the 48th year. This is how long they've been dancing around the wilderness. You know, that may not be 40 years for you, but it may be whatever it is, you know. But in the 11th month, on the first day of that month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him commandment to say to them. And here's what he said. Let's read the next few verses. He said unto them, you know, this was after God had done some miracles. He had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites. You know, he had slain Og, the king of Bashan, you know, and all that. Verse 5. We're going to read through verse 8. Let's go through quickly to verse 5. On this side of Jordan, the land of Moab, Moses began to declare this law, saying unto them. And verse 6. He said, the Lord our God speak to us in Horeb. And this is the word unto you today. Amen. Ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. That's right. Now, God is the one that brought you there. Remember, he said the tops of the mountains are visible. You know, and there are some things, you know, some of you got your miracle last month. Some of you haven't got it yet. But God is the God of 11th hour. Amen. Amen. You know, now, so you say, well, God said, look, you have dwelt long enough, you know, and that's for you. You've been in this same position, this same situation long enough. Glory to God. Now it is time for you to take your journey. Go to the Mount of the Amorites. Go to all the places therein. You know, go to the plain, go to the hills, go to the valley, and go to the, you know, everywhere now. Glory to God. Thou shalt now break forth on every side with no limits. It is time. You've dwelt long enough in this mount. Glory to God. It is time for you to move forward and get some more victories. Hallelujah. So if you didn't have a testimony, you know, or the testimony is still cooking, and you couldn't quite get it there yet last month, well, God is the God of the 11th hour. Now, let me tell you something about the 11th hour, kind of like the 11th month that we are in. The 11th hour, people use that as a phrase. It's like when it's almost too late. When it's not really late, it's like, you know, when you have a deadline on your job and you procrastinate. There are some people who are procrastinators. Procrastinate. Then in the last 11th hour, you stop trying to submit that report, right? So people use that as 11th hour. You know, now you are a student. You're supposed to be studying. You don't study. And then in the 11th hour, you start to go and burn the midnight oil and cram for your exam. So people use these things about 11th hour. You know, well, I have got a word to declare to you who are here today and those of you who are listening, you know, and so forth. And I already declared some of this, you know, early part of this year online. But I am going to declare this for you today. Can you say amen? So you've dwelt in this place. You've been in this place long enough. And I heard testimonies from a brother today. Heard testimonies also from his wife. God is already doing incredible things. Hallelujah. You know, but there is more where that came from. Amen. There is always more. I've always told it to you. Take a bucket to the ocean. Take your fill. The ocean remains just the same. You know, you can never deplete that ocean. God has the capacity to say, ask me anything. He has the capacity. No, I can't say that. If I tell my wife, honey, ask me anything, and I will give it to you. I know I'm going to be in trouble. So I don't have the capacity to say that. But God has the capacity to say it. Glory to God. The problem is we don't have the capacity to think it. You can't think it. You know, you tell little kids, when they are little, I remember my kids when they were little, and I now remember even my grandkids. You know, when they are little and you give them a quarter, they are so excited. You know, because that's the capacity of their mind. Then one day, they figure out, a quarter is not going to cut it. Then they ask you for a dollar. And I asked some of my kids, when they come home, I said, get on that scale. They get on the scale. I said, take note of it. Next time you come, this is my grandkids, get on the scale again. If you grow, you know, weight by X number, I'll give you a quarter. Quarter doesn't cut it anymore. So I started by saying, I'll give you a dollar. Next time around, they figured it out that $1, no, I want $5. Praise God. You know, and I say, well, thank God, $5 is all they still know. So one day, he's going to figure out that $5, Grandpa, $5 doesn't cut it. I want 20. Then I'm going to say, I'm going to raise the scale. It's not just 2 pounds. When you grow by 20 pounds, when you get taller by 1 foot, you know. Now, you know, I say that in a funny way, but that's how we are. That's just how we are. You know, some people don't, we just don't have the capacity But the scripture says in Ephesians 3:20, if you can think it, God can do it. And then some. Amen. God can do, all you have to do is think it. If you can think it, plus you must see it. I've already preached about that before, right? Genesis 13:13-14. From the place where you are, you have to see the future. When you see it, he said, everything you see is what I can give you. Amen. You'll find that in Genesis 13:13-14. But let me stay with this message here. The thing is this. You know, when God really wants to bless us, well, sometimes you have to be in the right place to receive that blessing. But the mercy of God is so great. I have prayed that God should have mercy on my family and this, my church family as well. Amen. That, you know, we must receive the things that are so freely given us already of God. Already given us. Just need to receive. Praise God. And the place where I am now, you know, the scripture says in Psalm 115 and verse 14, the Lord will increase you, that's me, more and more, and my children. Amen. So, you know, I got into a place that I have already a lot of increase, but the increase I want now for my children. Amen. You know, God is still increasing me. I can tell you testimonies that will blow your mind, but I'm not going there. But the thing is this, you know, God must increase me and my children. Amen. If that's you, you can say amen to that. Amen. Now, so, the Lord said, look, you have been in this place, in this situation long enough. And Jesus always knows that you have been long time in that condition. There was a man in the story that we read in the book of John, chapter 5. He was in that position for a long time. And Jesus knew him. And he said, today is your day. Don't worry about the angel. Don't worry about the water. Today is your day. Amen. So, but I'm going to tell you a story here. You know, if you know that it is time for you to move from somewhere, you know, and God wants to increase you, this is for you. Amen. You know, and sometimes, you know, there's the story of the eagle. It's an amazing story. You know, the Bible says the eagle steereth her nest and so forth like that. You know, sometimes when the eagle wants to get that young eaglet to really fly and do something, they start bringing in thorns, you know, into the nest, make the nest a little uncomfortable, you know. And if we do that, the eagle is a very intelligent bird. When he does that and the eaglet is still not doing anything, then he begins to stare at the nest. And if he stares the nest and the eaglet is still not doing anything, one day the mama eagle is going to say, that's it. You know, I've got it up to here. I'm going to take the eaglet, fly up to 10,000 feet or however the eagle can fly, and they can fly. And then let go. So, you know, eaglet, by force, you have to fly now. Amen. So sometimes God may need to make your situation a little more uncomfortable, you know, in order to get you to get to the next place. Amen. You know, sometimes you just settle in. You know, the children of Israel, they settled in. After a while, they just accepted their situation. Read what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. He said, I have seen their affliction. But God didn't do anything about it. But now I have heard their cry. So when you are comfortable and you don't cry unto the Lord, maybe he'll do, maybe he won't. But when you start becoming uncomfortable and then you start to cry unto the Lord, then he will say, aha, I have seen the affliction, but now I have heard their cry. Amen. And when he hears your cry, glory to God. He will do something about it. Thank you for putting that scripture up. I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Well, for many years, they got used to it. And then finally, you know, when things just got out of hands, you know, they couldn't take it anymore. They began to cry unto the Lord. Then God's ready to move. Amen. Now, but let me tell you a story here. This is going to be where a lot of the punchline for today will be coming from. I gave you that first part because it was something I already shared on Clubhouse and I wanted you to benefit from it. But it goes with this message too. Because this is the month that God said, you know, the thing that you have been waiting for. Amen. That's right. You've dwelt in this place long enough. You've been in this situation long enough. It is time. Amen. So there's a story. And I want to tell you this story. And I love storytelling. I learned the art of storytelling on my job. They even taught us, I took some classes. They taught us that even in technical, when you are presenting a technical presentation, you know, and my work is very technical. Even when you are doing technical stuff, you know, if you can bring storytelling in there, people will remember. You know, so I love to use these stories, but I like to tell stories from the Bible. Amen. Not just some random story that doesn't mean anything. So this story we're going to tell you today is taken out of the book of Matthew chapter 20. This is the story. And we're going to read through most of it. And I want them to take me through. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16 of Matthew 20. I'm going to read all of those 16 verses. I may stop in the middle, interject my own thing, you know, that the Lord gave me, you know, to in this message. But stay with me as I tell you this story. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, which is a householder, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Now, the biblical and Jewish day was what? 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So it's not like this 24-hour thing that we have. It's 12 hours. So when they talk about the third hour of the day, that's actually 9 a.m. Praise God. Hello? When they talk about the 11th hour, it's actually 5 p.m. Just want you to imagine that in your head. So, and when he found some laborers, so let me tell you the story now. He went out, he found some laborers early in the morning. I mean, these people, they were really up early and they really were ready, fired up. They were ready to go. So when he had negotiated with them, I'm going to talk about the power of negotiation. When he had negotiated with them for a penny a day, remember what I told you about the capacity, bringing that in here. You know, when he had negotiated with them, this was the capacity of those people. They negotiated for a penny a day. Perhaps if they had negotiated more, who knows? But that was their capacity. Well, you know, if I can get a penny, I'm okay. Penny in those days was a lot. It was like a whole day's wage. You know, so he sent them to the vineyard. And then next, he went again after a few hours. Let's keep reading. Verse 3 now. He went again after a few hours, you know, about the third hour. Now, the third hour is 9 a.m. So these people that he spoke to at first, they were early birds. Out there way before 9 a.m. And then he went out about the third hour. He saw some other standing idle in the marketplace. And he said, well, you know, go also into my vineyard. Whatever is right, I will give you. These people didn't even negotiate. You know, they just said, ah. Because, you know, they're already thinking, well, we've been standing here for several hours. Well, we'll just take whatever. So they went in their way. Okay, verse 5. Let's keep going. And then again about the 6th hour and about the 9th hour and so on. And he did so. Then finally, around the 11th hour, this is where our story is today. So around the 11th hour, he went out and found some others standing idle. And he asked them, why stand you idle here all day? And they said, well, because nobody has hired us. Now, you may be listening to me in person here today or listening online. You may be saying that, well, you know, I'm idle because I don't have a job. Well, I got news for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Why stand you idle here? Well, I said, well, read verse 7. They said, because no man has hired us. So he said unto them, okay, well, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will also give to you. These people also, they didn't negotiate. I mean, they couldn't. I mean, it was like 1 hour left in the day. You know, they would close by 6, hire them at 5. The 5 o'clock is the 11th hour, folks. So, when the day now ended, it was just an hour later. So he called his servants, you know, and said, okay, bring all those laborers now, and it's time for them to give out their hire. And start from the last unto the first. So when the last people came, who were hired in the 11th hour, he gave them a penny. He said, wow, penny was a great thing that day. It was a whole day's wage. It was a penny. You know, he said, wow. They thanked him. They went their way. And every one of those people, you know, they received. Now, there are people who were hired. I don't know whether it was 7 a.m. or whatever. But they were hired before the 3rd hour. We don't know when. They were hired way early in the day. When they now came, you know, read verses 9 and 10. Supposing that they should have received more, you know, because when the 11th hour came, they received a penny. Verse 10. Let's go through it quickly. You know, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. So when they received the penny, what did they do? Verse 11. They grumbled and murmured against the good man of the house. Verse 12. And saying, these people have worked for just 1 hour because they came in at the 11th hour. But those of us who have been here and borne the burden of the day and the heat of the day, you have made them equal to us. This is not fair. It's not fair. You know, so verse 13. And what did the good man of the house say? He answered one of them and said, friend, do I do you any wrong? Did you not negotiate with me and agree for a penny? Hello? Did you not negotiate? You know, did we not strike hands and make agreement for a penny? You know, look, that's what you agreed to. Take that dinies and go thy way. Amen. You know, don't worry about what I do to somebody else. This is what you negotiated. This was the power of the capacity of your mind. And I gave to you what you asked for. I will give to these as the last as I wish. You know, don't let your eye be evil because I am good. Glory to God. Don't let your eye be evil because I am good. You know, and is it not lawful for me to do with me what I my own? I can give to this man as I wish, and I will give to you what you agreed with me. Now, I did not cheat you. It's what you agreed. You know, and you agreed. So I gave it to you. And these others, glory to God, at the 11th hour, folks, these ones that came in, they were promoted, if you want to tell it that way, they were promoted and made equal. I mean, it's like 10 times what they should have gotten. Because these other people were there for 11 hours, almost even 12, I don't know how long. And this one came for just 1 hour. And the Lord said, I will make them equal. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want to say this to you right now. If you are in the position where you are looking at others and thinking, well, they're way ahead of me, don't worry about that. Amen. Don't worry about it. Glory to God. Because the God of the 11th hour, he can show up for you. And before you know it, you can be the same or even more than those people. Praise God. You know, so you say, well, some people gave testimony when all our hands were anointed together. You know, just a few weeks ago, when we heard the prophecy, the prophesying over the dead bones and the wind, we were all anointed together.
But now they have come and they have given their testimony. What about me?
The God of the 11th hour. Amen.
The God of the 11th hour, he can show up. And when he shows up, he can do the same and even more.
Hallelujah. It all depends on the capacity of your mind. You know, one time in the book of Luke chapter 5, I'm going to come back to this story. I'm not finished with this story. But I want to digress a little bit. In the book of Luke chapter 5, Peter, you know, a seasoned fisherman and his companions, they were fishing all night long. They caught nothing. Glory to God. And then the master of the 11th hour, he steps up. Glory to God. He's the master of the 11th hour. He steps up and says, Peter, cast your boat over to this side. Now, the right side is the correct side. Put your net over to the right. Now, they can't even put their nets on that side because of the way the tide was and everything. They can't put their nets on. But Jesus said, put your net over on that. You know, and then he said, look, you know, I won't dwell too much on that, but I can preach a whole message on that, just that. But anyway, so Peter said, well, Lord, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. But nevertheless, and I love that word, nevertheless. Look, let me explain it to you this way. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Will explain that nevertheless to you. The word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit. Now, the soul is where you have all the emotions. It's where you have the doubting. You know, maybe sometimes you may believe, but most of the time you doubt, you fear, you have fear, you have anger, you have all this. It's all inside the soul. But the spirit, which is why I read John chapter 6, verse 63 at the beginning. It is the spirit that quickeneth. And you must engage me in the spirit. Now, the spirit, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They connect with your spirit. It doesn't connect with your flesh. So when God is speaking, as I'm speaking to you now, even though I'm the one speaking it, God must be speaking it to you. That's the only way that it will make an impact in your life. If God is speaking it to you, it's like one of my favorite scriptures. You know, Job 32 and 8. There is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty brings it into your, it connects with your spirit to give you understanding. To give you understanding of the message. You know, otherwise, you just say, oh, that was a great message. No impact. You know, I don't want anybody to say, that was a great message and no impact. Connect with him in the spirit. Let him deposit it for you directly. You are hearing it from me, but you must hear it from God in order to make an impact in your life. That's the words I speak, the spirit and life, the spirit that quickeneth. So, Peter said, nevertheless. That is what it means that this word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. In your soul, you say, well, I've been here all night long and I've caught nothing. I mean, the fish are not biting. Not today, at least. But in your spirit, glory to God, you recognize that that's the master. And you say, nevertheless. And you divide between your soul and your spirit. Your soul is saying one thing. Your spirit man catches the word. But you must engage me in the spirit. When you catch that word in the spirit, no, it doesn't matter what your soul man is thinking. It doesn't matter what your flesh man is thinking. Your spirit says, nevertheless. Glory to God. So I say to some of you today that may be in your 11th hour. Some of you that may have been dwelling in this mountain for too long. Glory to God. I want you to say, I have been here, you know, I've strived to do this and everything like that, but nevertheless, at thy word, glory to God, the God of the 11th hour, when he shows up, It's like, my goodness, they cast that net, you know. Peter, he turned to his fellow fishermen and said, you heard the master. You heard the master. Now, get those nets and cast them, like he said. And my goodness, when they did that, it was a multitude of fish. You know, they had packed their nets. How many of you know they had packed their nets? They had packed their nets. It was even beyond the 11th hour. They had given up. They were ready to call it quits. But then the God of the 11th hour, he showed up. Glory to God. And he changed that situation. And there are some of you in here that are ready to call it quits. Because you have done everything and it's not working. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The God of the 11th hour is ready to show up in your situation. And Jesus said, but when I show up, will you still be at the point of faith? Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. That's what that scripture means. He said, the elect that cry unto him, God will answer them speedily. God will answer you speedily. What? He said, but when I finally show up, when the God of the 11th hour finally shows up, will you still be at the point of faith? That's what this scripture means. You know, some of us think it means it's rapture. Well, it means that too. But Jesus is talking, you have to read the context. He's talking about you are praying for things. You are crying to God night and day. And though he tarried long, he said he will answer you. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about rapture in this place. Hello? Read the whole story. He said, you have been crying to God. He even gave stories of a woman who cried to the judge all day long, and the judge would not answer her. And he said, look, I don't care about your case. Leave me alone. I don't care about you. I don't care about God. I don't care about anybody. But the woman would not leave him alone. She kept bothering him. This is the story that Jesus told in this place. And he would say, look. So the man said, look, there's only one way to get rid of this woman. Give her what she wants. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God, see, he's not talking about the rapture. Shall not God answer you speedily? When you ask him for things all the time and it looks like he's delayed, he's talking about delay in the things that you are asking. Don't just spiritualize this verse. I am here to tell you today that when the Son of God, the God of the 11th hour, finally shows up to give you the answer, will you still be believing? Shall I find faith when I return? Yeah, it also means the rapture too, but it goes way beyond that. Way beyond that. The things that you are crying to God for, when he finally shows up, will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have packed it in? Hello? Most people pack it in when it is just around that corner. That's when they pack it in. Long hope wearies the heart. So they are believing God. But the thing is tarrying. Well, because God will do that sometimes. You know, because let patience have her perfect work. God will try you. The Bible says the word of the Lord is tried. Glory to God. God will try you too. You know. And, you know, I was ministering even just today, Clubhouse on this. I said, look, God gave them commandment, go 3 days into the wilderness. And Moses said, after 3 days, he will command us. He will tell us what to do. You know, but when they got there after 3 days, what did they meet? Deadness. They got to the wilderness of Shur. There was nothing. You can read it in Exodus chapter 15. Read the whole chapter. You know, Moses had appeared to Pharaoh 3 times. And he had said, 3 days journey into the wilderness. And our God will speak to us. He told the children of Israel and told Pharaoh some part of it. And then they went 3 days into the wilderness. And when they got there, nothing. Nothing.
And then they left shore, you know, and they got to another place. Finally, they saw water, but it was bitter. They couldn't even eat it, drink the water. I mean, it just seems as if one problem, from one problem to another, I said, look, you should have left us in Egypt.
But the God of the 11th hour, just around the corner, God had prepared 12 wells according to the number of their tribes and 70 dates according to the number of their elders. He had prepared all that just around the corner. But they were grumbling because they couldn't see it, you know. But just around the corner, God had made provision. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that your miracle of supply and your miracle of intervention, your miracle of breakthrough, and in fact, Holy Ghost just corrected me. He said, don't say supply. Say continual supply. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. The beginning of your continuous supply. As long as you keep believing, look, she said, bring me another pot. And there was nothing. And then the oil stayed. If there had been another pot, let's say from that time till now, the sons have been bringing her another pot, the oil would still have been flowing. Amen. It was when there was nothing to bring. When their capacity ended, then the miracle stopped. Elisha told her, borrow the vessels, not a few. And she did. Told her sons, look, go to the neighbors. Just borrow. We'll bring back to you. Just borrow. So all of them, they went, they borrowed. And as they borrowed, she took the little oil, you know, just a little thing. Poured it. Set it aside. Bring me another pot. Poured it. What's going on here? Poured it. Set it aside. Bring me another pot. Poured it. Set it aside. Bring me another pot. Poured it. Set it aside. Bring me another pot. God finally said, bring me another pot. Say, there's no more pot. And the oil stayed. Now, when your capacity to receive from God ceases, then your miracle will cease. But if you can continue to believe God, Elisha told the king of Israel, shoot your arrows. Shoot your arrows. And he picked his arrow. He shot one time. Well, maybe he shot it to the ground or whatever. And then he took another one, he shot. And then three times. And then he stopped. He just stopped. And the man of God was furious. Well, furious. Why did you stop? If you had kept going, the Lord would have driven your enemies to the ground. But your capacity limited you. And you stopped. And you thought God was only going to do three. Ladies and gentlemen, these people, I'm coming back to my story now. These people that were negotiating with the Lord, did you know that in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26, did you know that the Lord said, come, let us negotiate? Put it up for me. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. He said, come, let us negotiate. Let us plead together. You know, let me see your power of negotiation. Let me see your capacity of what is in your mind that you can believe me for. Hallelujah. And if you can declare it, you'll be justified. Amen. But they can only believe for a penny. Well, a penny was a lot back then. It was a gold or silver penny. They don't spend this nonsense that we spend now. So it was a lot of money. You know, so they felt that it was really good. They only became envious when they saw that the God of the 11th hour showed up for somebody else. Glory to God. You know that the people that were hired in the 11th hour, my goodness, they went home celebrating. They went home celebrating even more than those others. Why? Because the Lord had enlarged their portion. He should have given them a tenth of that penny, or 1/11th of it, but he gave them a whole penny. My goodness. And they said, wow, we started so late in life, but we are now caught up. Glory to God. Somebody put your hands together. Glory to God. Look, Don't be looking. Bible says when you compare yourself with others, you are unwise. Don't be looking at what those people have been doing. Let them be doing. Amen. You be at the point of faith. Because the God of the 11th hour is coming into your situation. And when he shows up, you better be at the point of faith. You know, glory to God. You know, sometimes we are not at the point of faith, but yet his mercy, the mercy of the Lord, most of the time, it's even his mercy. People have quit on the Lord. Most of the time, they just quit. But the mercy of God, hallelujah. But let me tell you, Jesus specializes in showing up when you think it's far too late. 4 days in the grave. And even before the man died, Jesus said, the man is only sleeping. He said, whatever. So Jesus waited some more time in order for the guy to actually die. Glory to God. Jesus waited for the guy to die. I mean, he could have gone there. He just said, look, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. So that you may believe that the Son of Man has power. Even over death. Whether you are in the grave, oh, doesn't matter. Whether it's dead bones, so doesn't matter to the Lord. Hallelujah. So when he finally showed up, roll away the grave. Roll away the stone. And he said, right now he stinketh. Did I not tell you if that can only believe, you will see the glory of God. Never too late for the Lord. But sometimes we think it's far too late, you know. I preach a message called grace when you're condemned. Redemption when it is far too late. When it seems far too late. It's never too late. There's a time when it's actually far too late. There's a time, you know, there's a time when a person who did not believe and has rejected the message of the Savior, when they die, it's too late. That one is far too late. But I tell you, the God of the 11th hour, he showed up again on the cross. And there were two thieves that were nailed with him on either side. And one of them said, can read the story in Luke 23. One of them said, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and save us. And the other one said, you are not even afraid. To talk to this holy man like this. This man has done nothing wrong. I don't know how he knew that. But maybe he heard the fame of Jesus. This man has done nothing wrong. But we have gotten what we deserved. This man's already condemned though. Nailed to the cross. Bleeding already. But with his last breath. Glory to God. With his last breath he turns to Jesus and said, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, he did one of the most profound things in that whole Bible. There are people that live their whole lives and could not find salvation. I'm not telling anybody to wait until their death because you have no reward. You know, you have nothing to show. But I'm showing you that the God of all heaven and earth, he's not bound by time. There is nothing that is too hard for him to do. And he told that man, today, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Today, you will be with me in paradise. My goodness. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Glory to God. Redemption. When it seemed far too late. The God of the 11th hour, he showed up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you this way. Today, I am going to pray a prophetic prayer for anybody that wants it. You can tap into it. But first, I want to say, increase your capacity. Amen. And I hope that this message, you engaged him in the spirit. And then increase your capacity. Praise God. Let's read Isaiah chapter 54. And I want to read the first few verses of Isaiah 54. You know, and the Lord said, whatever your situation is, sing, O barren, that is not bare. Break forth into singing. Glory to God. That is not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, say the Lord. The ones that started at the 11th hour can even get more from the Lord. Because with him, a little is a lot. Glory to God. A little one shall become a great nation. A small one shall become a thousand. He can do that too. Isaiah 65 and 66 begin to tell them these things. Glory to God. So, I'm going to verse 2 of Isaiah 54. Enlarge your capacity. Amen? Hello? Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth. Stretch. Think bigger. Let them stretch forth the place of your habitations. Why? Well, from the place that you stand, he told Abraham, look out. And anything that you can see. Now, if this man somehow would have figured out how to see more, he would have gotten more. Amen? But that's what God... You agree with that? If you agree, let me know. Because God said, put the scripture up. I want to just... I'm not making it up. Put forward Genesis chapter 13 for me. And let me read verses 13 and 14. I already taught this here in the church, but I want you to see it. Genesis 13. Can you put that for me quickly? Is anybody there? Okay. Read the next verses. Go on to the next verse. Okay. Verse 14 is what I'm looking for. The Lord said to Abraham, verses 14 and 15 was what I was looking for. The Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. And God said to you today, you have dwelt enough, long enough in this place. This place that you are in, you've dwelt long enough there. Now, I want you to look out from where you are. Glory to God. Look out northward, westward, southward, eastward. For all, read the next verse, verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, that's what I'm going to give you. So if Abraham could have figured out how to see some more, God would have given it to him. What I preach to you today, it is spirit and it is life. And it's the truth. I just showed you from the scriptures. If you can somehow bring your mind to a larger capacity, glory to God. You know, this was one of the greatest sins of the children of Israel. Psalm 78 said they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. If you limit him to a quarter, that's all you get. You limit him to a penny, that's all they got. Could have negotiated more. Back to Isaiah 54, verse 2. He said, for thou shalt break forth. You know, said, go back to Isaiah 54. He said, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. You know, believe bigger. Why? For thou shalt do what? Read the next verse. Show it for me quickly, please. Next verse. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand. Hallelujah. No limits. As long as you can believe God. For there shall nothing be impossible to God. And all things are also possible to who? To who? All things are possible to him that believeth. And it's the same thing even in ministry. It's the same thing even in waiting for the coming of the Lord. You know, some people started early. Say, well, I gave my life to Christ 40 years ago. Well, good. But if you don't have fruit to show for it, well, maybe the one who just gave their life to Christ a few years and are doing more, they may get the same reward.
perhaps even more. You know, so, but the Lord said, I'll give you the same reward. So, you know, we got to put everything out there. Early part of this year, I preached some messages and I said, you got to take the shot, not the flu shot. And not the whatever COVID shot. I was preaching, I said something like this somewhere online on the Clubhouse. And somebody said, are you telling us to take the COVID shot? I said, no, I'm talking about basketball. Because I'm a basketball fan. The ball is in your hands and the clock is winding down. You know, you got to take that shot. Because if you don't take it, you already missed the shot. And I said, every shot you don't take is a shot you already missed. That's right. Because you say, well, what if I make it? But I say, what if you, well, you say, what if I don't make it? What if I don't make the shot? Well, I say, well, what if you make it? Hallelujah. If you make it, you become a hero. They're going to carry you on the shoulder, carry you out of that place. You know, and some people like those buzzer beaters. When the thing is dying, the clock is going down, they are falling out of bounds, you know, and then they are throwing that thing up. My goodness. And that thing, nothing but the bottom of the net. Glory to God. That place erupts because you make the shot. But you will never make the shot if you don't try the shot. Every shot you give up is a shot you already missed. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verses 3 and 4. What does it say? Can you put that on me quickly? Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You know, verse 3 says, look, when a tree, whatever happens, well, I may have to pull it up myself. They're not getting it out quickly for me. Ecclesiastes 3. Can you get that scripture for me? It slows me down if I have to pull it up myself. Anybody in the back there? All right. Well, if the tree falls wherever it falls, that's where it's going to be. But the one that I'm going to is the next verse that says, if you observe the wind, you will not sow. And if you regard the clouds, you will not reap. You know, I got to pull this up from my own scripture so I can quote it exactly. I don't know what's going up here. Yeah. Why does it take forever to bring the scriptures up? You know, if the clouds be of rain, they empty themselves, you know, and so forth. The tree fall this way, fall that way, whatever. You know, but next verse is where I'm going. Ecclesiastes 11 and 4. Say, if you observe the wind, you will not sow. And if you regard the clouds, then you will not reap. If you say there's a lion in the field today, then you will not do anything. Praise God. All right. I think we've told the story today. I'm going to end it right here on account of time. But I want to say to you, in a minute, I am going to pray. And this prayer that I want to pray, first of all, I prayed already before this service. I prayed while I started the service to the message. That God will help you to engage God in the spirit. Because if you do, you got it made. You know, and don't let a religious spirit, you know, there are some religious spirit that says, well, you know, you don't have to really believe in material things. That's a religious spirit. All the people of God in the Bible, they were loaded. Now, when you put your heart on it, then it's going to send you to hell. You know, so when riches increase, set not your heart upon them. But look, when God is telling you that I want to bless you, don't let your mind refuse it. God told Abraham, Genesis 15 and 1, I am your shield, and I will give you myself. Hallelujah. I will give you myself. Not I will give you something. I am your exceeding great reward. Now, Abraham's capacity was limited, unfortunately. Instead of taking the greatness of what God said to give him, say, well, but I don't have a child. So at that point in time, he limited God to just a child. Don't limit God to just your narrow situation that you are believing for now. He will do that, and he will do more. And if you put anything above God, when God said, I will give you myself, you say, well, I don't have a job. I don't have a this. I don't have a that. You will get that job, but you are going to have to bring it to the altar. You get that son, but you are going to have to bring that son to the altar. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I am done, and I am going to pray. Glory to God. And I want you to say, Lord, you are the God of the 11th hour. You know, and I have been in this situation long enough. Now, that prayer is not for everybody. Maybe God already answered that prayer for you. But there are some of you that prayer is still for here today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here preaching it. So if that's you and you say, I have been in this situation long enough. You have dwelt in this mount long enough. It's time for you to move forward. The God of the 11th hour is showing up for you today. Raise your hands and let's pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now you can be believing for yourself. You may also be believing for your children. Or even your grandchildren. Because the Lord is good. Your grandchildren are really your children. They are not grandchildren as far as God is concerned. But they are called children's children. Glory to God. So, Lord, I pray for everyone in the name of Jesus. I'm going to do it like this today. I don't want you to come forward because time is fast spent. But I do want everybody to put their hands down. And I want only the ones that want to receive this prophetic prayer to put their hands up. Now, if that's you, put your hands up. I'm not going to ask you to come down today. But you put your hands up. And the Lord is looking at those hands. Hallelujah. And I am saying, Lord, for everyone that's got their hands up, and I got my hands up, whether they are for themselves, whether they are praying for their spouse, whether they are praying for their children, whether they are praying for their children's children, whether they are even praying for their unborn children, whatever they are believing God for today, if you are here and you're raising your hand, I say to you by the word of the Lord that you have dwelt long enough in this situation. And it is time for you to move forward. And the God of the 11th hour is showing up in your situation. And is going to change your story. Glory to God. He is going to change your story. And there are people that have started way ahead of you. You will catch up. Amen. Glory to God. Because the God of the 11th hour, he has shown up. Yeah. May the God, the God of the 11th hour, may he show up for you in the name of Jesus. Now, I must be obedient to the Lord. I'm trying to cut this service down, but I want to put my hands in the hands of somebody. You just come here, put your hands. I'm not doing oil today. Just come here and put your hands. Sakori bashit dalabak. Ilamakandari basodira bashela kuria basan. Lord, I pray, let the God of the 11th hour, let him show up for you. In the name of Jesus. And I say unto you that you have dwelt long enough in this mount. You have been long enough in this situation. Your story must now change. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And the Lord said, when I show up, will you still be at the point of faith? Yes. Behold, saith the Lord, it is time for you to move forward. Yes.
Glory to God.
I will cause you to put down root downward and bear fruit upward. And I will redeem the time in your life in the name of Jesus. Now, the Lord is called the Redeemer. And we don't call him Redeemer for nothing. He will redeem the time. When he shows up for you in the 11th hour, he will redeem that time for you. It will be as if you have been there from the beginning of the day.
Amen.
But you were not. But great are the mercies of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now, I want to make sure that I touch every hand. If your hand already touched me, it's okay. Glory to God. But if not, I want to touch your hand. Glory to God. I want to touch your hand. Praise God. Because I'm just believing God here this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I touch your hand this morning. And I believe God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The God of the 11th hour is showing up for you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Glory to God. Those of you who are on stage, if you want the blessing, come here. Please put your hand if you haven't already done so. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The God of the 11th hour. Glory to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The God of the 11th hour. Now I pray that prayer with all my soul. The Holy Ghost prayed with groanings. And I know that God, the very God, the great Redeemer, he will redeem the time for you. Amen. If that's you and you believe it, I want you to shout amen. And let the loudest amen be the first miracle. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all.